Hey Fadies, thanks for listening to The Fate of Ison, Chapter 5, Episode 14. I'm DM Brad, and it's great to have you here as always. We had a couple of listeners ask us this week where to find more info about the world, and even one who wanted to use Ison to play in their own homebrew games. What? That's awesome! Everyone should do that. So in case anybody else out there is wondering the same thing, there is heaps of information about Ison and its history, geography, religion, magic, NPCs, blah 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 blah, on our wiki, ison.fandom.com. You can also get to that wiki through a link on our website, fateofison.com, where there's also maps, fan art, commissioned character art, so you can get a good look at what these characters look like, and links to our merch store, and more. More stuff. There's even more stuff than the stuff that I just said. So many things. Right, I think it's about time for a recap. Last time, Banfor, Marley, and Arcus fought a trio of flying horrors that attacked the dilapidated village in the dead of night. Banfor threw a few torches in the long grass, which resulted in an out-of-control bonfire lighting the darkness. They defeated the nocturnal creatures, leaving them to burn in the tall grass inferno.
You guys leveled up recently. You wanna tell us about that? Tell me about that? Tell each other about that? Tell someone about that? Write a letter
tell
to
everybody.
Your, write a letter to your local politician. No takers? Alright, fine.
That's me, hello.
I guess I'll just go fuck myself.
I've become now a level 9 person, and I am a level 7 barbarian, as I've leveled up once. It doesn't do a huge amount, it just means that I get advantage on initiative, and also means that if I'm surprised by an attack, then as long as my first action in the next turn is to enter a rage, then I suffer no whatever the opposite of a benefit is. What's the opposite of a
deficit?
Benefit? Detriment. Yeah, detriment. Yeah, so it does mean that I'm okay in like surprise attacks. That's me.
Do you wanna go next,
I'm Brad. I leveled up as a DM. I now have more dice. Every time I roll a d20 for an enemy to attack these people, I now roll 5 d20s instead, and I take the combined result to guarantee that I will always murder them every single time.
Sounds fair.
I'm Arcus. I'm a level 7 cleric, I guess. I got this cool new sword recently, Staff of Lightning and Thunder, which has a lot of really cool little abilities that'll be fun to try out in combat. And I leveled up to level 7, which means I got a new spell. Yeah.
Cool bananas. We were talking in the chat, Jules and I were talking about how we just find the character of Arcus very fascinating in physiology and in like behavior and attitude. So yay, thanks JD for doing what you do with Arcus.
He's an easy breezy kind of guy.
Hey yo. Making it fun for me, making it fun for us, and hopefully making it fun for El Listenerados.
Ah, I hope they hate it.
Yay!
This is specifically to fight you.
I need to put a poll out actually on Twitter about Nio the Goblin, because it's been discussed in the Discord that some people hate Nio, some people love Nio, and some people love how much Jules hates Nio.
What a polarizing character.
I think it's kind of fun that I, like, you know, because everybody always loves the NPCs and trusts them implicitly and stuff, but I'm just like, my instant reaction was, yeah, I don't like that character, and I just went, ah, fuck it, I'm gonna roll with that. Like,
I just feel bad doing bad things in video games and like role-playing games. I don't know what it is. Every time I'm like, this time I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna be a badass, I'm gonna be a renegade, And every single time I chicken out and I have to be nice to them, because otherwise I can never hurt their feelings. Yeah.
I can never be mean. Always end up as the most most lawful good.
Well, there really are games that remember now as well, so they'll remember you fucking up, and that's what D&D does. Brad will remember. Yeah. The characters may past, but the DM.
If I run for prime minister. For office, they're going to bring up my Fable account and be like, okay, so why did you kill these 15 chickens when you had the option to save these chickens for less money? And then, I don't know, somebody will yeet me or something, whatever politics becomes in the future.
Yeah, you'll be fired into the sun.
I'll be yeeted into the sun.
From a cannon.
By somebody who then dabs or whatever the...
That's the send-off.
Future dance move is. Somebody flosses, hits a button, then dabs, and I'm a yeetith into the sun.
Right, that's interesting stuff. Cool. Does anyone have sillies they want to get off their chest, or should we crack on?
Do you know, I know what happened to Molly.
Yeah, you haven't done the talky talk yet.
Sorry. I thought you were like, let's play the game, rather than let's crack on and find out what's happening with Marley. So Marley leveled because she's a good girl and she did her homework. She pretty much, kind of like Arcus, she just sort of got another spell to use, and fourth level spell, which is fun. Well, I actually took a third level spell. Yeah, third level spell. I took Hypnotic Pattern, which is real fun because it seemed in keeping with Marley being College of Glamour and being all about charming things. For her to have a pretty pattern of colours in the sky that charms people, but actually makes them incapacitated while it charms them, which is seems handy.
Yeah, so that's going to be really hard for me to... You're really going to have to make sure I play the rules of that properly, because get a bit fast and loose when it comes to not straightforward combat.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a cube, and it's only if you don't fail, if you pass the wisdom saving throw, nothing, you know? So it's not going to work all the time, but I thought it might be fun to play it sometimes, especially if we're in a crowd of enemies. You know, to kind of go, okay, now we don't have to deal with that cube. We only have to deal with this cube over here, you know?
Yeah.
The only other thing she got is that her Bardic Inspiration went up because she's now a level 5 Bard, which means she now gives a D8 of Inspiration die when she Bardic Inspirations, which is fun for friends.
Yeah, I've been meaning to ask, does Marley have the alarm spell?
The?
Alarm? It's a first level ranger spell?
Nah, I didn't take it.
Okay, I'm just curious because you guys are out in the wilderness and you don't really have any shelter when you stop for the night and stuff, and I thought that might be something a ranger would have, but if you don't, then maybe I can play.
I mean, I took Animal Friendship, Hunter's Mark, and Hail of Thorns as a ranger. Those are my ranger-y stuff.
Yep.
And I'm probably not going to put too many more levels into ranger for Marley. I really just wanted her to be good at her crossbow and get to that point and have an animal pet with her. And now she's just going to go full bard, probably, for the rest of it. So she'll be ranger fourth level kind of forever. That's the plan anyway. I'll see if that changes, but
yep, sweet. Well, yeah, I'll just queue up a bunch of monsters that could interrupt your long rests in the night. That's all G with me, Holmes. That's right.
Oh, yeah?
I just said those words.
That's fun.
I'm literally in D&D Beyond right now, queuing up monsters that could interrupt your sleep in any given night.
That's kind of mean. Why would you do that to us, Brad?
It's going to be a die roll to determine if they actually do or not. But, because you don't have that alarm spell, it's there. It's there.
I mean, that is fair enough.
Let's get Krizakin.
Nope. Just before we get into it really just quickly.
Before we get into it, quickly now.
Yeah. Sorry, I just need to put something out for one of my flatmates that's coming home so they don't make a lot of noise when they come in. Hold up.
Did I tell you my, like, my persuasion is plus 13, Brad?
Oh.
My persuasion and my deception is plus 13.
Fucking hell. I need to give Banfor some kind of magic item to make his constitution, like, monstrous.
Yeah.
Why is
it's
that?
Because, yeah, it's because it's because you didn't do stat arrays, eh? You took feats and take them instead of taking the stats.
Mm-hmm. And you've chosen grappler and...
I think you've chosen feats each time. Yeah. Stats haven't really changed.
Mm. That's accurate.
Yeah, but you've got lucky, which sort of evens it out.
Yeah, that's true.
Your lucky feat is kind of a lifesaver for you.
Yeah, you've just got disadvantage on a lot of stuff, you know? Mm. I was looking at your character sheet the other day. While this is happening, because you're probably just going to edit it out, because I was building a barbarian, and I was like, I was looking at yours because I was like, how does Banfor get such good hits in? Like, I was like trying to build one, and I was like, why is mine looking so shit, you know? And then I looked at your sheet and I was like, oh, fuck, you've got disadvantage on a lot of stuff. Well, that's probably why.
You just got to play exactly the way that you're supposed to.
Yeah. Like, you've got to play it, like, real tight to the line. It makes sense. Like, with every kind of thing that you take, there's a risk kind of involved. So it makes sense. But I was like, I don't think I want to build mine like that. I think I want mine to be a bit, like...
rounded.
Yeah, you can either be a generalist or you can just go the other way and see what happens. Yeah. You know?
I have returned.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cool. So, friends, loved ones, cherished companions, and other synonyms. Fadies! Yeah, the most important of all. We, last time, were in a small abandoned town/village that had been dilapidated and sort of left to the ravages of time. Your goblin companion, Nio, got force-fed some whiskey by Banfor and then vomited and passed out, and Arcus tucked her to bed in a drawer, which was fun.
In the recovery position.
In the recovery position, yep, lest she vomit again. Then Arcus, also in a different building in this abandoned town, discovered some artwork by a child named Daisy, depicting happy people laughing and having a good time in the sunshine, and then sad people getting attacked by bat-like creatures at night. Ooh, scary, ominous pictures. But you just all ignored the warning, the inherent warning in the artwork, and just enjoyed the artwork itself and critiqued it somewhat. And then night fell, you went to sleep, but your sleep was interrupted by three large bat-like creatures. So sort of man-bats, humanoid bat things that did very loud, terrifying screeches, etc., etc. You fought them, and Banfor toppled the final one while riding it 60 feet in the sky, and then sort of rode its corpse to the ground expertly. The tall grass on the ground in the middle of this town is currently ablaze in the immediate aftermath of that fight. What do you do?
So Banfor is kind of in the fire.
Pretty much.
And then it's kind of going down the center line of the street, and it's more than likely going to catch the town on fire.
There's a good chance it could burn the entire town. Yeah, the tall grass is very dry, and yeah, this fire is a huge I want to say pyre, would that be the right word, in the middle of right in the smack dab in the middle of the street of this town.
Are there any large bodies of water around or anything?
There are not. There are none that you passed. There might be small streams nearby hiding in the tall grass, but there's nothing that you noticed on your walk.
Banfor's going to exit the fire and run back up to the shop that we were in. Did we notice a back door in the shop as we were exploring it?
There wasn't one.
Banff was going to make a back door via running through the back wall.
Okay, make me an athletics check. The DC on this is going to be 18.
Let's go.
The timber is weak, but it's not that weak.
17. Dang, yeah, so it just bounces off, okay.
Okay, yeah, you charge at the back wall of this tiny little shop building and just smack into the timber. The building rattles and dust falls from the ceiling, but that's about it.
Banff was nothing if not persistent, so unless anybody has any other ideas, he's going to do it again.
You're not trapped in this building, by the way.
He feels trapped. Banff was going to run at the back wall again.
Okay.
So that's a 25.
Okay, yeah. You plow through the back of this building, opening up a huge hole, and coming out on the back side of this town. So it's only one street with two rows of buildings facing each other. So you are now basically outside the town by being behind the buildings.
Cool.
The town, however, is almost on fire, but you're not part of it.
I would love to cast a gust of wind, which extinguishes candles, torches, and similar unprotected flames in the area.
Okay.
And that's just a strength saving throw, or it does it. So
okay, yeah,
there's
it
no
just
creature.
It just does it. So the grass isn't going to try and save against it.
I didn't know. It could have been sentient fire. Who knows?
Okay, so I'll get you to Arcus roleplay you casting a big gust of wind that blows out this flame, and keeping in mind things like the direction you blow it and how you actually cast a spell.
Okay, so... basically I just make my cheeks as big as they can possibly be and breathe in as much air as I can, and then I make a really just a pouty face, and I and I blow I would liken it to old cartoons of the big bad wolf blowing out the little pigs' houses, or aptly clouds blowing in angry old cartoony style.
Yep.
Directionally, I'm blowing it away from the city town towards what's behind it. What am I seeing?
It's just like an ocean of grassland on all sides.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of blowing it down.
Yeah, you could blow it out if, you know, A strong enough gust would blow the flames out rather than just move them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the fire just dissipates across the plains like a wave.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Cool. Another option is would have been that you also have water spells rain, ones that make it rain, basically. And there is also the barrel of water we introduced in the last episode that was like stale water that you had a discussion whether or not you could drink it. But yay,
thinking outside the box, wind.
Yeah, you blew it out.
I blew it out.
The immediate danger of that fire is now gone, and it is currently the dead of night because your sleep was interrupted. Marley, Hodge, do you do anything?
No, I think Marley and Hodge are just kind of like watching all this happen, because Marley doesn't know how to deal with fire. Like, that's not kind of her thing. She's like, so she's just sort of trying to keep her and Hodge away from the flames. And I imagine Hodge is kind of freaking out because, you know, like wood, animals and fire don't mix. So she's just trying to keep him sort of calm, you know?
I imagine if he freaks out, he'll take to the skies.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But she's trying to be like, you don't need to. Everything's fine. You know, like, I've got you.
Okay. Yeah. I won't make you animal handle. I'll give you full control over that.
Cool.
Cool.
And then obviously flames kind of go out. Yeah, kind of go out.
Yeah, they go out. They're fully extinguished.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the aftermath is the bodies of those things have been completely burned away. There's a big scorched area in the middle of the street. Banfor is out of town. Nio is still passed out in a drawer, and it's like the dead of night.
Yeah. I guess Molly would be like, okay, is that it? You know, I guess sort of go back inside the house where they left Nio, because that's probably, you know, like at least they woke up and weren't killed, so... like, best case scenario at the moment, you know, sort of putting Hodge back on guard outside the door and...
Yeah, well, now there's a big hole in the back of that building as well.
No, I'm aware, but still.
Like... Banfor is somewhat sheepishly re-entered the hole.
Yeah.
And just sort of is scuffing his boots somewhat and just sort of generally replacing boards that he can find.
Yeah. I mean, I guess... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess Marley's just thinking, well, at least we know this building doesn't have anything in it. You know, like, there's nothing in here that's trying to kill us, so it probably would have tried already, so
yeah.
I don't want to move houses only to find more trouble.
Yep, no, that makes sense. This is a safe haven, even though, yeah, it's now got an extra door, but that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
If there are only three bats.
Yeah, I mean, there still could be more, but... Yeah.
Do you think it was just three that ravaged the town and it was a really weak town?
I mean, maybe.
I mean, you are all of a high enough level that you're basically, like, sort of legendary level people. Like, you're much, much more powerful than the average person.
Yeah, I mean, minions go down with a hit. Like, it doesn't even need to be, like, more than one point of damage.
I'm just saying, take some time from your regular life, leave your family, train up a little bit, come back, you can protect your town.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I really don't know why people don't do that. But
and catch all the Pokemon at the same time.
Exactly. Everyone's got to go on their hero's journey.
Okay, so assuming that you all camp for the night inside that shop together, with Hodge sort of on watch on the front porch...
yeah,
everyone's
how is it? Yeah, are we all thinking that we're going to try for a long rest before we do any short rest stuff?
Yeah.
If Brad's gonna try and interrupt us again, do we want to do any short rest stuff so that if we don't get a long rest,
I will meta
game, we've got something?
I will meta game promise you will not be interrupted this long rest again.
Okay.
Long rest.
I was just putting the offer out there.
Your next one is up for grabs. But this one's fine.
Okay, go. All right.
Take him.
Hell yeah. So yeah, I mean, she would put Hodge on guard and kind of yeah, because I think his perception's like pretty high. I haven't actually brought him up.
Yeah, again. When it's scent-based as well, he's got advantage on that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plus a lot of smaller things just wouldn't come near, like, a site that has a giant flying wolf.
Giant wolf kind of sitting outside it. Yeah.
It's unique.
Yeah. Yeah, his passive perception's, like, 16. So, you know, I kind of look at that as he's sort of, like, half asleep, half awake. He's, like, resting, but, like, ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Right. Yep, so yep. That happens.
Morning comes. The sun rises and you see its brilliant rays shining through the front windows of this building and the back hole of this building. It's enough to wake those who would be woken by morning light. And you wake in the morning also to the sound of like a banging, like somebody banging from inside a small confined space.
Boom, boom. Disregards it. He boom, hears boom. Sounds in his head all the time.
Boom, boom, boom.
Molly ignores it.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Arcus goes and opens it, but only because they've forgotten. what's inside.
What it is.
I'm curious to find out.
Where am I? Arcus, what happened?
We're in a store.
Why am I... Am I in a drawer? Did you put me in a drawer?
I didn't do anything, okay?
Who put me in a drawer? Oh, the indignity. I have to go through life as a goblin as it is, getting shunned and spit on by society, and now I'm getting put in drawers?
See, this is what happens when you drink.
I got drowned by that guy yesterday.
Partially drowned, mate. Partially.
Quickly.
I start to close the door, the drawer again.
No, 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 no. I'll be good. I'll shut up. I won't talk at all for the rest of this D&D session.
Marley shoots Nio a look. Like, really? Really? I mean, that would be great, but really. She doesn't say it.
I've got metagame knowledge. I know that none of this is real. We're all part of some strange imaginary simulation.
Whoa, this isn't real. Wayne.
Better than my real life.
What?
I'll be sad.
Cool. Yeah, cool. Once you wrap
Molly's
up...
doing her usual thing in the morning where she got up probably a bit before everybody else and is chirpily, you know, making some kind of breakfast and, you know, feeding Hodge something.
Yep. Do you try and like, would you try and strip some meat off those bat, like charred bat creatures in the middle of town?
I don't know if I would.
Or give them like, to Hodge?
Yeah, I'm not sure I would because I'd be worried about them being like poisonous or acidic or something weird. She'd probably just go out and like try and catch something, like some sort of bunny or something out.
Okay. Make a survival check and we'll just... If it's above a 10, you catch something. If it's above a 16, you catch something really good.
Okay. With your bow. That makes sense. How's an 8?
You see a rabbit. You miss the rabbit. The rabbit leaves.
Yeah.
It's a play in three parts.
She says, sorry, Hodge. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe later.
He sort of gives a wolf frown and a sigh, and then he sort of nods his head suggestively towards the three bat corpses.
And I'm like, oh, well, what do you? And I sort of say to him, I know he can't really understand me, but I'm like, well, what do you think? Do you think it's healthy? Is it okay? I don't know. Like, is this gonna hurt you? Sorry, my cat is trying to move.
Yeah, no, he can understand common perfectly. He just can't speak.
Yeah. And I like, if he keeps pointing at it, regardless of what I'm saying, I just go, fine, have at it. But don't blame me if you get sick.
Okay. He's going to roll a con save. Oh, you, if you've got his stats up, you can roll a con for him.
Yeah, I do. He has plus 3 to his con. Okay. He rolls a 16, so 19.
Okay, yeah. He takes a few solid bites out of one of them. He starts with the wing, and then decides that's not satisfying enough, so he goes to something a bit fleshier, like the torso. And yeah, he takes some gulps and doesn't seem to have any immediate negative effects.
Okay, well, that's good. Marley watches while she sort of munches on some jerky out of her rations pack or whatever. Keeping an eye on him, but yeah, cool.
And a thought crosses your mind of, bat jerky.
Yeah, she's just not sure.
I don't blame you. These things aren't actually bats. They are...
Have you heard of this thing called COVID, Brett?
For our players...
Not sure she wants to be eating bats.
For our players at home, these are deleted from my sheet. What? No, they're not.
No!
These are flying horrors.
Yeah. Yep.
I see a cat in Jules' webcam.
Cat.
Hello.
Cat is cleaning.
That is how I speak to the cat. I say hello. Hello.
It's very polite. You gotta introduce yourself.
Miaura.
Say...
That's how
killing pixie. He's had enough of my lap. He has been sitting on my lap for like a good hour. I feel like I got really like rewarded. I don't know what I did, but I got an hour of lap cuddles and I'm pretty happy about it, you know?
Very envious.
Yeah.
Maybe
he knows it's my mum's birthday too and he feels sad for me.
Oh, happy birthday to Jules' mum.
Yeah, who's not around anymore.
I know that. And now the listeners do too.
I just, yeah. Just clarifying why it's a sad thing. It's not because I hate my mum. And
I'm like, she's getting older.
Yeah. I bought myself like a banana cake, like, you know, from the supermarket, how they have like the strips of banana cake. So it's not like a whole cake, but it's like a decent amount, like well too much for one person to have. I'm going to eat it all.
Oh man, that's so good. Banana cake is the best. Bananas. All right.
Exactly. Anyway, wildly off track.
Okay, so Marley is feeding or allowing Hodge to eat. She's eating some jerky. How do Banfor and Arcus start their morning in this town? And after you summarize what you do for the morning, we are going to basically summarize the entire next day of travel in a very quick skip.
Cool.
Well, Banfor takes his normal morning ablution. He just goes and has a poo in the middle of the street and has a bit of a walk around. Just goes and kicks some crispy critters, tries a little bit of bat, and then just sort of gets ready for the day.
Okay, roll a con save for eating some bat creature, some flying horror.
I hear you. Well, it's not good, it's 8, so I have coronavirus.
No, you just, you don't have anything really bad happen. You feel a little bit questionable after it. Like, maybe you shouldn't have eaten that.
He gives some to Nio.
How do you feel? I was the guinea pig last night.
I feel great. I feel strong as a moose, if those exist.
Yeah, they exist. Okay. All right. And she, like, yeah, takes the chunk of flying horror meat and takes a bite. Gets a 14 on a con save, so she's like, yeah, a bit gamey, but...
It's a bit gamey, isn't it? But that's probably why I feel like trash.
Neat. It was good to have something in my stomach after that whiskey last night.
Therefore has gotten the whiskey and is carrying it.
I was going to say, are you taking that keg with you? Yes, you are.
Yes, I absolutely are.
Yeah. And Arcus, how do you start your morning in this town, which, by the way, is called Duskmire, but we never got around to naming it.
Cute, Duskmire. I think I try and calm Nio down in the earlier parts of the morning by presenting Rain to her again.
Oh, yep. She has a good time with Rain. That puts her on level.
Yeah. I just, you know, I give her her special interest and distract her for the day.
So do you lend Rain to her for the day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm around. I'm watching. I don't fully trust that she's not going to eat it. Not that she loves mice, I know, but in what way, you know?
Oh, yeah, this might all be foreplay to a meal.
I'm watching. I'm paying attention. But I have nothing better to do, so it's also that.
Yep. I would say that she sings a happy song while she plays with Rain, but I did promise that she wouldn't talk for this session, so...
She's already just...
I know. I'm torn.
Break your promise.
Okay.
Break your promise.
Yeah.
Do a song.
So yeah, after she eats a bit of bat, Rain is just like on her shoulder that whole time. And then she like gets Rain to crawl down her arm and sniffs the bat, and Rain's like, nah, not having it. And then, yeah, Nio just walks away with Rain on her hand, just going, I got a mouse and I eat in the bat, but the mouse doesn't want to eat the bat though, because the mouse has a bitter taste. Nio got the whiskey in her mouth and she needs to eat a bat.
Beautiful.
And she walks away singing to herself. So, by the time you guys are ready to continue your southwest journey, do you, Marley, check the compass orb again to confirm your direction is still the same?
Yeah, I think she probably would. Like, kind of, you know, at the start of every day to just recheck they're going in the right direction, like, kind of after, like, lunch break or whatever, she'd probably check it again. But otherwise, she's probably just sort of got it in her pocket, and, you know?
Okay. Yeah, so based on the map, which listeners can see on our website as well, fateofison.com, if you want to play the home game, and the pace that you guys set to reach Duskmire in basically a whole day of travel to get there, it will take you 2 days of travel from this point to get to the area of Timatanga. So on the first day, if you guys give me just some basic roleplay summary events and like a single roll or two to determine how those go, just on a day of nothing but walking through long grass.
Hodge gets covered in bitty bits. Little sticker jacks.
Yeah, I love that.
And we spend a fun afternoon at a spring with some really big combs made out of reeds.
This is
or
gold.
A conveniently shaped local tree getting bitty bits out of his fur. It's
like
very sweet, and it's reminiscent of Avatar, Legends of Aang.
So you're grooming Hodge back to pristine sometime on this day. All right, so Banfor, if you just roll an animal handling to see just how that goes in general.
Handling an animal.
And he's going like, rrr. You know, like when my pets are like, I can't decide if I like it or don't like it. And he's like, sort of,
I'll let it happen, but the jury's 11. Out. 11.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, exactly what Jules just described. He lets it happen, but you are unsure after the fact. You're unsure after the fact if he enjoyed it or if he just...
He has a concept of a peer-based judiciary. So that's nice.
Yep.
If the jury's out.
And I will get... so Oliver...
I imagine a wolf doesn't like combing. Like, not that it was you, but just like...
Well, I'd like to see what the opinion of Hodge is now for Banfor, because when Hodge 2.0 first entered the scene, Banfor made it very clear he wanted nothing to do with him. So what are Banfor's thoughts on Hodge now after travelling with him a fair bit?
He's okay. He's just like a big, weird horse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not fun. Like, you know, it wouldn't be fun getting stuff stuck on you where you can't get rid of it. So in an animalistic way, like Banfor, he's not against him. Like, he wouldn't bring unhappiness on Sai the Shuck as much as he's an abomination under any god with two pairs of fucking eyes. One pair of eyes. But as much as I, like, don't get along with some animals, I'd never wish them harm, and I'd actively work to prevent harm or ongoing discomfort. But just as a person, he's like, okay, you're a weird horse, and potentially, you know, you're the reason that we're all going to die one day. So,
yeah. Fair enough. So what's something that Arcus would do on a day of travel through long grass?
Arcus at one point just, like, trips over absolutely nothing in the grass. Just, like, flat on his face. And also thinks that he sees something really important in the distance, but then it's just a weird looking tree.
Okay, there's no roles for this. You just act like a jackass, to be honest. You just make a fool of yourself in numerous ways.
Thank you.
And Marley, what's something you would do in just a day of blasé travel through tall grass?
So I guess, you know, like in situations like this, the ranger in her is kind of triggered a little, like just interested in what's going on. Like she can't help but like look at the tracks on the ground and in amongst the grass and try and figure out like what animal that might be around here or like that kind of stuff. Yep. You know, not that she's going looking for it, but she's just kind of like, passing the time by playing guessing games with herself, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Sweet. I'll let you decide if that's a nature or a survival check.
Okay. Survival's +4, so let's do that. And it's a straight 10. Thank you. I rolled a 6 on the dice.
straight up 10. Okay. Yeah, you notice lots of different tracks walking in sort of all directions. Some of them you recognize, like you recognize like bear tracks. You recognize like sort of hoof prints that would probably be for like a wild boar or something. And you see a few that you don't recognize.
Yeah, cool. She's happy with that. She's just kind of, you know, meandering and guessing. And she sat down while Hodge was getting, like, brushed, kind of bemusedly watched that. And, you know.
Yeah. As you all journey southwest, you notice that in the direction you're going, on the horizon is a very, very large hill. That as you get closer to it, you do start to notice like very minor like plumes of smoke coming from out the top of it, and you can ascertain this may or may not be a volcano.
Ooh.
Herbal says that may or may not be a volcano. I've ascertained it.
Or as we discussed last time, a volcano is just a spicy hill.
Spicy mountain, isn't it?
Cool. So the major event of this first day of travel is late afternoon, early evening is starting to come about. You hear coming from your left, so the east, a very loud. And then a few seconds later, it's followed by. Like a rolling thunderous sound that rumbles the ground.
And how far away does it seem to be?
You don't know, but it does. The rolling sound does seem to get louder and louder as if it's getting closer, and it's coming from your left, the east.
Okay.
Does Banfor recognize this language or voice at all?
It was just like an animalistic. Like human roar, like a person just trying to make as much noise as possible, like an aggressive sound, but a big person.
Banfor's going to take his axe out and get his shield in front of him and ready, and at the sight of something he's going to prepare himself to enter a rage at the sight of an aggressive creature.
Okay, he's going to ready a rage.
How I'm going to slip in.
Cool. Arcus, Marley, did you have any thoughts upon seeing Banfor do that?
I might ready my staff of thunder and lightning. Very, very frightening me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Coming into
Marley
view.
Marley just sort of sings, just in case you need it, Banfor. And just throws you a bardic inspiration, just in case.
Got it. Thank you.
Coming into view is lots and lots of creatures on the horizon that get closer and closer. And as they get closer, you see it is a stampede of at least 100 fur birds, which are the kiwi the size of small cars that we've established. And they are heading in your direction very fast.
Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Mufasa.
If Goro shows up, I'm going to be very happy.
The world's a beast.
We're like over the ocean from where Goro is.
Yeah, it's not Goro.
You know what he's been up to? He could walk under the ocean.
I mean, that's true.
Wouldn't put it past Mr. Bradley.
Marley goes to mount Hodge because the easiest thing she can see is to get off the ground.
Yep. Do you suggest that to your teammates or just do it for yourself?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I assume we're kind of all walking around close to each other, right? Like,
yeah, you're all in a cluster.
Yeah. So instead of mucking around talking too much, she sings a quick song at Banfor and then sort of holds a hand out to Arcus. Like, do you want to come on? You know?
Yeah,
and I grab the hand.
Yeah, and Nio just stands there in the grass looking at you.
Oh, yeah, true, Nio.
Throws Nio at the wolf. Do we know, have we ascertained how much old Big Dog can take?
Two medium creatures.
Yeah.
Does Arcus count as medium?
Arcus, I would say Arcus and Nio together count as medium, because Arcus can sort of go semi-incorporeal.
And I'm large, aren't I?
You're medium as well, but you're a very heavy medium.
Yeah. Cool, so I'm staying on the ground with my shield. Is there a large rock or something that I can shelter behind it?
Roll an investigation check to determine if
I'll
there's a rock.
I'll investigate for rocks. That's investigation, not intimidation. Intimidation, not investigation. I can't intimidate myself into a rock. Oh.
That sounds like quitter's talk to me.
Banfor, be a rock, damn it. Okay.
Might be, because it's a nat one.
Investigation.
Which has come out at a four. Nat so one? I both don't find a rock and have rolled a chaos curse.
Unless you luck point.
I'm not gonna.
Okay. Cool. I've got the chaos curse here.
It's gonna be interesting.
Okie dokie, D100. Where are you, you little son of a beastie? 43.
Okay, so. Oh, dude, this is the perfect time for this. Oh my god.
Do I become a tree?
No, a powerful wave of energy bursts out from you. Every creature within 50 feet, including allies, takes 1d8 radiant damage.
Nice.
So,
have my allies taken off?
No, I mean...
They're still within range, even if they have.
Yeah.
So do I just blitz a whole bunch of furbirds who are just running from something?
You sure do. You just shred the the front of the wave. And your allies... including Nio and including Hodge, all take 1d8 radiant damage.
Yeah.
Everyone... Yeah. Oh, it's one. You all take one radiant damage.
Oh, no. Okay, that's not too bad. With that, I guess not knowing that Bamfor has rolled, like, a chaos thing.
Yep.
She'd take that as, like, a, we should go! And she just kind of lifts up, you know?
Okay,
like he was trying to tell her to... like piss off, you know.
So that's a great cinematic moment where Banfor takes up position against this army, and then magically just energy just poof straight out of him, and then you take to the skies with these massive wings. That's really cool. Okay, and Banfor the stampede will approach you very shortly. What is one last thing you would try and do before it arrives?
Banfor's going to sort of get down behind his shield and angle it over him so that he just looks like a rock that they would like to avoid. And if one of them does hit him, then he's already braced against it.
Okay, cool. I like that. That's really good. I just wonder if I should get you to roll something for that. Just general athletics, I think, to take the hits from them stampeding over you if they do.
21.
Nice. Okay, yeah. So this stampede meets you as a wave, and it just batters and batters against your shield. It's like you're being rained on, with heavy hail or rocks. And it goes on for, 15, 20 seconds, but probably under that shield feels like a really long time. But then eventually it starts to peter out, and then they pass.
Marley lands straight away. She points Hodge straight back down on the ground, like looking for Bamfor to see if he's okay, you know?
Yep. And you see then, after you land, charging in the same direction that the furbirds went, so obviously the thing that was chasing them, is a two-headed giant, about not as big as the fire giants, about maybe 15 odd feet tall, so about half the size of a fire giant. Just charging towards these furbirds and towards you by extension, with a very crude loincloth on and huge weapons waving wildly above its head, and just screaming this guttural rawr! Rawr! As it charges.
Is this the lieutenant's friend?
It's the same race as Lieutenants White and Robinson, but it is not civilized like them.
So what is the race?
It's an Etin, two-headed giant.
Etin.
I've somewhat homebrewed them a little bit, but that's the base.
Are they commensurate in size to like a fire, frost, or stone giant sort of thing?
He said smaller than fire.
In Iceland they're 15 feet tall, so only twice your height, but a fire giant's 30. So it's charging in your direction. It may or may not have malice against you. You don't know. What do you do?
I think we can... I mean... Do we err on the side of assuming good, or do we assume that this thing's out to get us and put it in the ground? I mean, you guys can get to it quicker than I can. And maybe try and talk to it. And then if all else fails, I'll just cut its Achilles and choke it. I don't know.
Yep, so it begins to close in 50 feet.
Can I just... Molly just gets out in front of everybody, just temporarily, like hops, like stands up on top of Hodges' like back and just kind of... gutturally screams back, trying to like intimidate him from, you know, like attacking them. Like, okay. So we're scary. So don't screw with us. Keep going past us. You know what I mean?
I like this different attempt at a conflict situation. This is good. Stand in front of your friends and make an intimidation check.
Okay, that's a 9, and I have a 9, so 18?
Okay. It continues barreling towards you, but then as it comes close, it does stop short, like, almost cartoonishly, like, it was surprised at how intimidating you were. It, like, scooches its feet in the dirt and the tall grass and stands still about 20 feet away from you and just sort of stands there hulking. And it's not chasing the fur birds anymore because you kind of halted its path.
Cool. I want to say, like, no, bad Etin, go. You know, like I'm telling it off.
Yeah, so...
telling off a child.
Yeah, one of its heads is bald. The other has, like, really matted blue hair, like filthy, unwashed blue hair. And its whole body is, like, scarred and dirty. And it's very clear this thing is wild. This creature is not civilized. And so you yell, bad, naughty, stop.
Pretty much. It's just, I don't know why, but that's just Marley's instant reaction to this. She's trying not to kill this thing, yeah.
What language do you say that in?
Good question. I guess her go-to's, like, is common, but she might follow that with, like, I don't know, like Elvish, probably. It'd be the only other one. She knows four languages, but I doubt she'd do that in all four.
But if it's wild, it's more about the tone, right? It's not about the word.
So Orcish might be guttural and sort of the right tone.
Yeah, I mean, true. Because, I mean, I do speak Orcish, but I don't... Would she do it? I don't know if she'd be smart enough to figure that out. Do you know what I mean? Like, in the instant?
Well, it's kind of racist, in a way, to be like, big... like, uncivilized thing, probably speaks Orcish.
Yeah, I mean, because Marley's got, like, wisdom, but, like, not much intelligence, so, like, she probably wouldn't analyze it that much. She'd probably be like, you bad!
Yeah, what does Arcus do?
I reckon as long as you're firm in what you say. Can I cast Sanctuary on Marley?
Yeah, absolutely. So that just means that they have to wisdom save if they want to attack her, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Cool. Marley is sanctuaried. Banfor, what do you do, having now that Marley's sort of stepped up in front
Danke.
Of you?
Banfor's sort of going out to a bit of a side angle and just watching it all unfold. He's nearby and he's ready to enter a rage, but at this point it seems like Marley's got their attention, so not being noticed.
Yeah, no harm in getting into a flanking position either.
Sort of sneaking, a little bit stealthy.
Okay, roll. Make a stealth check to see how well you're able to.
Just try ever. It doesn't go well. It's got a 7.
Okay. Yeah, with your heavy armor too, you should have disadvantage on stealth too. So.
I will roll again as well. Still a 7. I actually got a 16 on my other one. I have +2 to stealth.
Yep. Yeah, because you've got good dex. But yes.
Yeah, I do. What's up, girl?
Yeah, so you try and skirt around, you know, either clockwise or anti-clockwise around it, and it just, one of its heads, the blue matted hair one, just like watches you go. It's very clear that you are not evading its eyes.
Mm.
So the bald one is staring at Marley, and the blue matted one is watching you. And then it sort of raises like a big, its big spiked club and points over your heads in the direction that the fur birds went.
And Marley makes a gesture like, you know, like, you're welcome, go on, you know.
We move out of the way, just like clear a path.
Yeah, like backs off a little bit to kind of be like, that's fine. I get Hodge to like back up and I'm like.
Yeah, Nio is just like holding on to Hodge.
She's buried in the fur.
Yeah, it's soft. It's beautiful. Yeah, especially now, after the brushing. Yeah,
she's now stuck. She's stuck to it now instead of the biddies. She is a biddy now.
It's because she's weirdly sticky at all times.
Does she still have rain, or did you collect rain?
She'd be looking after rain right now.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So she's got rain, and she's clinging to Hodge, and you all as a group try and gesture for it to continue on its way.
Sure.
We all form a bit of a line.
Yeah, like a line that gets out of direct line of sight to the furbirds. So we're still in front of them, but like.
We'll just all start backing off.
Yeah.
Ark is just avoiding eye contact.
Yeah, so is Banfor not treating this as a thing I could kill? I like killing big things.
It seems like we're not killing things right now.
Well, that's up to you as characters. That's
yeah. That's
it seems
completely
like no one
your
else
choice.
Is killing things. Well, yeah. You know, it's only fun if everyone's involved. It's always consensual.
I guess just Marley sees no reason to kill this if it's not after them.
Yeah, like
it's after the furbirds. It's probably hungry.
But he doesn't just kill things. Like he's a cruise missile. You have to point him at something.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, so
is that what you expected us to do, Brad? Is this the first time we haven't killed something that you expected us to kill?
No, I deliberately presented this as a situation where you could have combat or you could do something else. I'm just surprised that Oliver's like, yeah, Banfor just doesn't kill. I'm like, okay.
Okie dokie.
Cool, so right. Yeah, as a group, roll a... let's see, should it be a performance check or a persuasion check if you're trying to physically gesture for it to continue? I'd say persuasion. You're trying to persuade it, like, we're not your quarry. Just get on your way, mate. So, as a group.
Right.
And if you roll as a group, over 26.
So just a flat d20.
No, persuasion.
Okay, well, I mean, I rolled a 22, so...
Oh, okay.
I just got
you guys
18.
Just have to roll 4 points.
Yeah. I just got 18.
Okay.
I got 13.
Yeah, so, yeah. It,
so it's like 15.
It looks at all of you in turn. The bald head looks at, it's like solely at Marley, and the blue matted hair looks at the other two and just sort of gives like a little nod of respect. Like, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. And then it does one last and then stomp, stomp, stomp. It charges off after the furbirds. And after about 20-30 seconds, it's gone.
Wow, we're
Marley
also charming.
Waves as it like passes to be like, yep, bye, friend that we met that we don't know the names of. You know,
just as a little after the fact, they speak Orcish, and
sometimes stereotypes are true.
Yeah,
and
sometimes they exist for a reason.
And the two heads are named Pete and Tim.
Ah.
And they have information about Timotanga.
Oh, bye.
But also, how would we have known?
If Marley had spoken Orcish, she could have got that out of them.
Yeah. This is RPG. You make a decision, things happen.
They would have been like, you speak Orcish. Well, welcome. Where are you going? We're going to Timatanga. Oh, I know about that place.
Yeah, what would they have said, Brad?
No, we don't get the information. We made the choice. That's how it works.
Okay. On the second day, a different Etin comes by.
Can't we just call up the god of knowledge or something? Isn't that something we have the ability to do?
You 100% can do that and never will.
Yeah, we don't want the answer.
We know where we're going. I'm not sure I want to tell a god that we're on our way to kill a goddy thing. A demigod? I still don't know what Gilith is.
So you think that the god of knowledge doesn't know what we're doing?
Well, yeah, I think he does, but he just, he has opinions that I don't always want to hear.
Who, me?
I'm intrigued.
Everyone likes what I have to say.
The pack and save guy.
Yeah. I mean, if you are interested and you ask about it, like, Marley will always open the seal to see if he has anything to say, or like for you to ask a question. But it's not like a thing that she's deliberately not doing. It's just a thing she doesn't really do unless they have a need to do it, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's valid. I don't think Arcus is going to ask you to do it because he's too awkward socially.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we know where we're going, right? Like, we know we're going to Timatanga. It's in this direction because we have a compassy thing and we're trying to kill Gilith.
Aw, Hodge got covered in biddies? I'm starting to think Banfor is warming up to our big wingy boy. Good job Arcus has weather-based spells to take care of fires and things. That's definitely a valuable tool to have in the squad's arsenal. And I hope Pete and Tim catch up with those furbirds. Or I hope they don't. Come to think of it, I don't actually know whose side I'm on in that one. Who are you rooting for? Let us know. Furbirds or the Etin? A big squishy thank you cuddle to all of our awesome supporters over at patreon.com/fadeofison, without whom we couldn't make this show. So yay, thanks to Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino from Not Quite Heroes Podcast, Iron Kuchar, Laura Christina Goodwin, and James Blyser from Wheel of Woe Podcast, IJ Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm from Table Tales, Kydron Faust, Lauren Flake, Kydiela, Rihanna Kavalsik, Kevin Swift from The Dice Cult, Ben Edwards, Victorian Gavin Porter, Daniel Nichols from the Happy Go Lucky Podcast, KP, and Squished. We couldn't make this show without you, and let's let that sit. Let the love just sit. Is that a saying? I don't know. And don't forget to get in touch with us if you wanna. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, those are all at Fate of Ison. Pretty easy. And email fateofison@gmail.com. Or jump on over to Discord and talk with us on the Necropodicon Network server. Where we'll do the chitty chatty hellos and blah 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 blah. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Thanks for reviewing us and doing all the good things that you do and telling friends. And just thanks. There's been a lot of rambling from me in this one, but it comes from a sincere place. All right, bye.
Can anyone hear us? Can anyone hear us?
I'm trapped in this bumper.
We're both trapped in this bumper.
Oh no, how do we end up in here?
Well, how do we escape? Okay, look, maybe if we send everyone to necropodicon.com, we can escape.
But not just that. What if we send them to the Discord as well?
Yes, that's great. You have to go to the website, which is www.necropodicon.com. And you'll find a Discord on there. And if you want, I guess, if you've got time while releasing us, you could play games and chat with the people from the various podcasts you've been listening to.
You can read all the cast and crew profiles. You can be part of special events.
In fact, we're missing out on that by being trapped in this bumper.
Help free us from this bumper, and we'll see you over at www.necropodicon.com.
We are in mortal pain.
If you do not, sucks. Please,
we help suffer in this bumper. Us. Save us!
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.